Good evening, Rabosai. Welcome to the Thursday night Mishmash here. Tonight's topic is connected to the series that we've been speaking about, which is the halachas of Makkah B'Patish on Shabbos. But tonight we're going to talk about a very specific application of Makkah B'Patish and many other malachos, possibly. And that is the question of, can you open a soda can tab, the tabs on top of the soda can? I'm not talking about bottles, 2-liter bottles or 1-liter bottles. I'm not even talking about Snapple bottles. I'm not talking about grape juice containers. I'm talking about only one thing. Soda cans that have a tab, that you pull off the tab, is that going to be permitted? And we're going to have to talk about some other cases to get there when we finally get to the halachos. But I want to go through the number of possible issues that can be an issue, and we'll find that there might be as many as five yisurim, possibly d'oraisa, to speak of when we speak about opening up a soda can tab. So if you look on the outline that I offered you, you see that number one is bona. You're making a kli. You have a closed vessel. You're making it into a kli that's usable. Until now it was a shipping container to allow the soda to be shipped from the Coca-Cola factory to the store to your house. And now that you're going to be able to sip it, it's a whole new type of item that wasn't existent before because it wasn't, you weren't able to drink it. And you weren't able to access the stuff inside. So that could be bona. Number two, we might argue that this is makkah b'patish, especially if we want to argue that ain binyan b'kelim, and therefore if a soda can is a kli, so you can't use, what do you mean, bona a kli, bona a soda can? Bona is doesn't apply to kelim, and this is a kli, so how could you use the word bona? But, so we'll say, okay, if it's not bona, maybe it's putting the finishing touch. We know that that's what makkah b'patish is. You have a less usable or usable only for transportation soda can. And now this can suddenly becomes a very handy-dandy drinkable soda can that you could sip from, and it allows, it's really the perfect, if you ever thought about how intelligent the soda can tabs are, you realize it's not just something that allows you to drink liquid out of. You realize that if it was the hole was a little smaller, that you put your entire mouth over the soda can hole, then no air would be coming in to replace the liquid that's coming out, and it wouldn't come out. So they make it the perfect shape that you could put your lips, there's enough room for you to put your lips and get your soda out and still allow air in from the far side of the tab that's further away from your mouth to allow the exchange, so that there won't be a vacuum. So that's, wow, you're making a very usable kli. That's called mesaken mana. Mesaken mana is you're creating a usable kli. Maybe it's not bona, but mesaken mana is when you make a usable kli, a subset of told of makkah b'patish. Maybe it's makkah b'patish on a different count. The Gemara talks about cases, which we'll see shortly, of the iser that making a pesach. Forget the kli in and of itself. The pesach itself, maybe the making a pesach to the kli. Let's assume it is a kli, but you're making a pesach to it. Maybe that is considered makkah b'patish in and of itself. Okay. Number four, maybe it's considered soser. You're dismantling, you're destroying. By you opening it up, you had a sealed kli, and now you're making it, well, you know, you'll drink the soda for 30 seconds, for 3-4 minutes. After that, the kli is useless. So you had a kli that could have a shelf life of years and years and years. And by you opening it up, you basically rendered it useless. So, I mean, you could use it for a minute or two, but maybe that's like destroying or dismantling a kli. The opposite of what we said a minute ago. Okay, then we have something from a different genre, and that is mechatech. What is mechatech? Mechatech is not cutting, because cutting might be korea, might not be korea. If it's fabric, it's korea. Mechatech means cutting a prescribed or on a set line or at a prescribed size. So here, when you have the tabs, there, I don't think the word to use would be perforations. Maybe you can help me with the right word. What is it that you're, when you pull the tab, why is it only that the tab breaks open? Inscribed, that's the word? Okay, the inscription or the thinner metal that's over there, or the, you know, the almost cut that's there. If you cut something along a line, along a perforation, that would be an iser d'oraisa of mechate. So forget about if you made a kli, forget about if it was a kli, if it isn't a kli, if it will be a kli, that might be irrelevant. Separate and apart from that, there might be an iser d'oraisa to pull off this tab whether it's a soda can or a tuna fish can that has the pull-off thing, because you're cutting the metal with the force of your grip and pull on a very set specific area that's outlined to cut, and that would be a violation of an issur d'oraisa mechatech, unrelated to whether or not it's a kli. Finally, we'll talk about the concern that those of you who are here at Mincha, we talked about the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish raised the question that if you have something that's a completely sealed body and you open it up, opening up a guf atum, Chazon Ish says that's a problem, which maybe we'll talk about if we have time, maybe we'll wait. Okay. So let's start with, there are many Gemaras, by the way, that talk about Makkah B'Patish with Kalim, that talk about Bona B'Kalim, that talk about making a Pesach with Kalim. A number of the cases are referenced here in this Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. And we have to be familiar with the classical cases that the Gemara talks about opening Kalim. The Gemara's time, they didn't have soda cans. In the Gemara's time, they didn't have orange juice containers. But they still had containers of sorts, and they had to open them, and they were sealed in certain ways. You had to break the seals to access the food inside. In different types of seals, different types of containers, and different types of opening them. And that's where we'll begin with the Shabbos Kuf Mem Vav. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Shehakol Nehiyeh Bedvaro. Zok the Mishnah. Shover Adam Es HaChavis, Lachol Himenu Grogros. You have figs, chopped figs, inside your a barrel for storage, and you want to eat the, now they're sealed. Probably maybe you want to keep the air out so that it could last longer. Maybe you just needed to seal it because they were going to be transported. You didn't want water to drip in. Whatever the reasons why they were sealed, they were closed up. You want to access your figs inside. So you could break the chavit, you could break the barrel open. Uvilvad concludes the Mishnah, Shelo yiskavin la'asos kli. Obviously, was this a kli until now? Of course it was. It's a chavis. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says, but if you're in the process of you breaking it, you make it into a kli, that will be aser. So apparently, whatever the status was, the opening it itself could make it into a kli that will be aser. As Rashi explains both lines, you're allowed to break it open, b'sakin o b'sayif, a sword, a knife, de'ein b'mekalkel shum iser shabbos. So it sounds like you're going to smash it open, or slice a chunk of the chavis off. Maybe you'll chop the head of the chavis off with a sword. Is that mekalkel? It ruins? So Rashi says, we're not worried about mekalkel on Shabbos. That's a story to itself, which we're not going to get into as much. What is the status of being mekalkel things on Shabbos? But let me just go on a tangent right away. You buy 100 plastic cups and they come in a bag. You buy 50 plastic spoons and 50 plastic forks and 50 plastic knives that all match and they all come in bags. You buy 300 napkins and they come in a light, long bag. You come to set your Shabbos table and you find that your plastic cups and your plastic spoons and your plastic knives and your plastic forks and your paper napkins are all in a sealed bag. So what happens when you rip open that bag? That's korea. Ripping fabric or material is an issur d'oraisa of korea, right? But what do you see in this line? This line, Rashi says, "Ein v'mekalkel shum iser Shabbos." If when you rip that bag open, you're destroying the bag, especially if it will be able to be discarded immediately, that shows that you're destroying it. If you open it up in a way that's careful, that you like, let's say you have a bag of spoons, and you open it up so that you could only take out 3 spoons at a time, but the rest of the bag will hold the spoons well, that could be problematic. That could be problematic. I'm not just saying yes or no, but that's an issue. But if you just destroy the outside bag, then that's mekalka. What do you mean? I thought your korea is an issur d'oraisa. No, but if you do it in a destructive way, Rashi says there's no issur. And if you look at what I underlined in the Ran says, what do you mean? Mekalka is putter, not mutter. We know that the Mishnah says, Chazal say, kol mekalkel in peturin. That doesn't mean you're allowed to be mekalkel, it just means you're pater from a chiyuv chatas. It's not a issur d'oraisa. So look what the Ran says. Ran says, since mekalkel is pater, therefore mekalkel l'chavid Shabbos is mutter. You see what he says? Tekemet ba'alma mekalkel is pater, aval aser, hachavishim tzorach Shabbos, shari l'chatchila. So halacha lemaisa right now, Rabosai, we just came out with a tremendous kula. If you want to open up the package of
300 napkins
or 100 cups.
Using only three.
No, that's not okay. That's not a problem because you're going to use it on Shabbos. If, let's say, you're opening up a bunch of tablecloths because you're having simcha and you want to open up all the plastic tablecloths, you have 20 of them, but you only have 12 tables. You say, once I'm opening them, let me open them up because, you know, I don't know, maybe I'll use it on Tuesday night or something, at least once I'm opening it. So you can't just be mekalkel on Shabbos. So Rashi said you could. The Ran says, no. It only makes it not as the rice of mekalkel, but to actually make it mutl chatchila, says that it has to be the Tzorach Shabbos. Okay? Which is why you're allowed to open up the plastic containers, the plastic wrappers, I would say, that have your plastic spoons and knives inside of it, and that have the plastic cups and napkins inside of it. Yeah.
This assumes again there's no specific place to open it.
Yeah, we're not getting into perforations. Perforations is a separate question of mechatech. Welcome, Rabbi Friedman. Good to have you. Okay, so that was one halacha. The first halacha was you have a barrel full of figs. You're allowed to chop it open, and the Mishnah said that you can't make it in, as long as when you did that, you didn't make it into a kli. Look at what Rashi says. Uvad shelo yiskaving la'asos kli lenokva, to make a hole in it, yafe bepesach na'e. If when you're breaking open this barrel to access the dates, the figs inside of it, and you cut it in a way that is a convenient cut that will make it able to be an access point to get the figs very comfortably and smoothly in a way that you move forward, in a Pesach Na'ah, that would be making a kli. What's the kli? Is the kli the Pesach, or is the kli a chavis that now is a chavis that is able to be accessed more easily? Reb Chaim, you hear my question? When the Mishnah says that you have to make sure when you open up a chavis, you don't make it into a kli, is that the Pesach, the nice Pesach that you're making, is the kli, or the barrel that now could be accessed with this convenient Pesach, the barrel has a din of a kli? Yeah, so I'm assuming this is not talking, when it says making a kli, I assume it does not mean because of bona, I assume it means because of maka v'patish. That would solve your question. I would guess that it's the whole kli itself. We're not talking about that you're making a Pesach, but making a Pesach makes the whole kli into a kli. So what you see, Shalom, is that it doesn't really matter if the chavis was a chavis before. The fact that you're making something
if you open it, which I assume is true. I don't assume that.
Even if it wouldn't, so the fact that you open it and the opening is called a kli, you're still creating a kli. So on both counts, when you say like me or they say like you, it would still the opening in a way that now makes it usable
Except
would be a kli.
They're talking about that you're making an opening You're being very diligent. You're taking a drill bit, and you're making a hole to be very deliberate.
You're saying if you're going to take everything out at once, maybe that's not a Pesach Yafe.
That's correct.
I hear. Although I think that what we open, when we open a soda tab, that's definitely a Pesach Yafe. That's a lot nicer than the Pesachs that they would open up.
You're destroying the seal. You're destroying the seal.
It doesn't matter. You still made a Pesach Yafe. That would still be considered making kli for this purpose. Sorry?
Rashi's saying,
make sure you don't make it a Pesach Yafe. I'm just pointing out that the form that we open, either with a can opener, is a very smooth cut and a very neat cut. So too, the tabs that we open, it sounds like that should be a problem.
How about a tomato juice thing where you're...
That also sounds like a Pesach Yafe. If you take a tomato juice can opener and just make that, you know, that triangle that you bend down, that's pretty neat to me, I would think.
Maybe it's okay. A problem only if you happen to, I mean, if it's happened to open that way, it's not your intention, it's not the same as I'm purposely do it, cut it to the size because I want it specific. The fact that we designed it that way, I'm not...
Good, okay, that's a good hara. Yeah. Something to think about. Let's continue with what the Gemara says. Let's say you have a barrel that has a seal on top, that's sealed, that's called a megufa, that I don't know how they made it. I assume they made it, let's say they made it with clay. Or whatever else they covered the top of the barrel with, and they sealed it there. Could you poke a hole in the seal? Remember, it's not, the rest of the barrel is made out of wood, maybe it's made out of clay, but the top is made out of some other material. I'm sorry, the body might be made out of either wood or pottery, and the top would be some other, like a softer clay maybe. Says the Mishnah, Ein nokven, you're not allowed to make a hole in the megufa shel chavis, the Rebbe Yehuda, v'chacham matirin. What's this issue of poking a hole in the seal? Ein nokven, so even if we assume you had a chavis, which is a kli, then you put a seal on top of it. Now you're going to make a hole in that seal. The Mishnah says that's going to be usur. That was this, you were saying that, oh, once since it was made, it should be mutter. So here we say it's not going to really make a difference. The fact that it was a kli previously and then sealed. It says you have a chavis, that was a kli. You filled it up. On top of it, you put a seal on top, like you're describing. And then, 3 weeks later, on Shabbos, you take a drill and you drill a hole in that seal on top. So that the Mishnah says is asur. Look at Rashi.
That seal could be resealed.
Oh, I don't know that. Let's see. Says Rashi. Eino kvimugufa, right before the Gemara. Eino kvimugufa, you can't poke a hole in the seal. Hadvuka bepeh, hachavis, lasosekev. Again, we're talking about not the body of the chavis. We're talking about not making a hole in the chavis itself. But there's some, I don't know if it's clay, wax. Yeah, it could be wax. Elo, rather, what must you do? You can't make the hole, because that's going to make a Pesach. Rather, Ella notel es kula. Take the whole wax top off, or the whole clay top off. Aval kinakivla, but if you make a hole, that's misakin pischa. You're making a Pesach.
And if you take the hole, it's the original Pesach that was there. You didn't create anything. When you make a smaller hole,
when you make a small hole, that's making a Pesach. When you have something that was a clay already, you just took off this whole seal, that would be mutter, right?
When you have a tuna fish can and you use a can opener and you take the whole top off, that would be different than if you have a juice can and you use a can opener to make two holes to pour the stuff out.
When you take off the top of a tuna can, I don't know well enough how the tuna cans are made. What you cut off with the can opener, is that exactly what they added on, or
no,
it's not the same piece? No. You're leaving a rim.
It's like this.
Uh-huh, so you're leaving a rim. So you're not...
You're leaving the edge.
The, yeah, okay.
It also depends on how you cut it. There are two ways you can cut it off.
Okay.
But the intention is then to take out the product completely and throw away the
kit. That you're introducing ideas we haven't seen yet. You're already 5 light years ahead because you might have learned halacha once in your life, but that we're way behind you. We're learning Mishnayos now. Okay, we just learned Mishnayos. We're not up to you yet. Fine. Comes the Gemara and mentions a case that is going to be referenced by all the poskim who discuss any of these shilas. Tanya Chada, Gemara quotes a brisa. Choslos shel grogros v'shel tmarim. This word choslos is the most important word that we're going to greet when we talk about opening packages on Shabbos. Choslos, what kind of package is a choseles that you fill with grogros or tmarim, that you fill with figs or dates? Because the Mishnah says, the Braisa says that you're allowed to untie it, you're allowed to mafkia, it means break it apart. Choteich, you let it cut the string that holds it together. What is this choslos of figs or dates? If it's a cake, then you don't have to open anything.
Cake.
But if it's a cake, then you don't have to open anything. There's talking about a wrapper around the cake. That's what we're allowing you to break open, to cut, or to... So let's see. Rashi explains. What's a choselos? Choselos is a kli shel kapos tamarim. They use lulavim or lulav, you know, those palm fronds, palm branches, the string, the whatever you call them, fronds or branches from a lulav, from a palm. Va'osin kamin salim, you make some kind of basket that was obviously held together by a string around it. And therefore, you're allowed to do one of three things, the Bryce says. You could just untie the knot that holds these palm things surrounding it. You could rip the string, cut the string, or you could destroy this little basket. So the Mishnah gives us three options. As far as I know, no one argues on this. This point will be very important as far as opening up lots of packages, because any package that we could say is similar in type to a choseles, which is a junky, garbagey covering that's held together, I'm allowed to either cut it open, I'm allowed to cut the string that holds it around, I'm allowed to, so let me think of an example. Let's say I have a cake with the old cakes from the Brooklyn bakeries, and they have the bakery string, or the red and white bakery string, that holds it together. So, it sounds like you could untie it, which is a chiddush, especially if it's a real knot, right?
It's a real knot.
Yeah, so we'll have to...
It's meant to last.
Yeah, so we'll have to figure... We'll have to see what they say about what kind of knot was this that you're allowed to untie. Secondly, you're allowed to cut it. Okay, that's helpful. I'm allowed to cut that string. If you can't do it with your hands, you could use a knife. If you don't have a knife, that will work. Then you could use the scissors. Yeah, you could use the scissors, yeah. Because the klisha malach tel isu, it's tzarech gufo. It's a permitted usage of a klisha malach tel isur. It's permitted. Or you could destroy the box, if a box is considered. Excuse me. Maybe a bag of potato chips is choselas. It's like a weak wrapper, a garbagey wrapper that surrounds the potato chips that you want to access. Maybe if you could destroy the bag. Maybe that's like a choseles.
Wouldn't anything disposable be like that?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll have to see. Okay. The next case, we don't have to talk about. It talks about poking a barrel with a spear or with on Shabbos that makes a spout. We're not going to go into that now. Okay. So...
But you do see the difference between taking a spear and poking it versus making it double.
It's a spear in order to make a hole. He's spearing in order to make a hole. But yeah, it's not as delicate.
It's not a reusable hole.
Possibly, right.
Possibly.
Okay. Hello, Ramesha. So, we're now going to introduce, before we go to the next point, I have to raise a shaila. The shaila is, which I don't want to talk about at length, because we know anytime I'm going to say, oh, you're making a kli, which is bona, you're going to ask on me, what do you mean? How could you say you're being bona a kli? After all, ain't binyan bekelim. Okay. The answer to that will be, you could be bona a kli. You could, I mean, say there is a concept of being bona a kli that would be prohibited. And that's if you make a kli from start to finish. If you make a kli from start to finish, in a full, from A to Z, you make a kli from A to Z, you had nothing here and now you have a kli, that would be bona. Which means that...
If you took clay and molded it...
Certainly. If you took clay and molded a kli, that was a usable kli, from clay, that would be bona on Shabbos. Because we hold that even though in bin and bekelim, that's only... That's not if you make it from A to Z. If you make it from A to Z, Rashi says it's ein binyan bekelim never. But we don't pass like Rashi. We're machmer for Tosfos, who says that if you make it from A to Z, then it's considered bona in a kli. But there's going to be a very important exception. So again, we paskin that yesh binyan bekelim if you make the full kli. There's going to be one exception. But before we make this exception, let me describe the following. Let's say I have something called a sealed barrel, or a tuna fish can, or a can of yams, and I open up the cover. I take my can opener, thank you, and I open up a cover. Now, one could argue that until now you had one kind of kli, and now I just made a very different kind of kli. I had until now a kli that is great because it has a shelf life of 10 years, and is actually, I was just going through my parents' house in the basement. We had some old canned vegetables and canned food items. And these are really old. They've been there in the basement for years. I looked at it, it's like best if used by 2018, 2016. So they must have been from like 2010. It must have been like 12 years old. But I looked online, and you know what I saw? It says that as long as there's no rust, which some of them were, as long as they're not dented, which some of them were, you can use these cans indefinitely. Botulism. If they're not bent, if they're intact in their shape, then you could use these cans, even though it says use within the next 10 years, you could use it 20 years later. I didn't know that. I threw them all out, just for the record, but that was something interesting that I discovered. Okay, so once I open it, maybe I'm making a totally new kli. What do you mean? Now I'm making something that I could go in and out, I could take my tuna fish out, I could get my yams out, I could put the leftover yams back in, I could put it in the fridge. A very different kli. Maybe that's called bona in a kli. And maybe it is. But look at the next Mishnah. Look at the next Gemara in Beitza, Daf Lamed Gimel in Beis. The Gemara is talking about a person named Rabbi Eliezer, who I don't really care about what he says. You'll see why. What we need to take from it in a minute. For less than Rabbi Eliezer, doesn't Rabbi Eliezer, who says something rather, doesn't he hold from the Mishnah that says, Shover Adam Esachavis Lachomi Mera Grogros? You remember we just had that Mishnah? That you're allowed to break a barrel to access the figs inside. Uvil Vajlo Yachalas, at least Kamala says Kli. As long as you don't make a Kli out of it or don't intend to make a Kli, you're allowed to break the barrel. Amravashi Kitanya Hi. When does that Mishnah say that you're allowed to break the Kli open? Bimustiki. Ooh, Mustiki is the key word. Sorry for that delay. Okay, so we're about to say that when is it mutter to break a chavis and to make this kli? After all, isn't there a problem that there is binyan bekelim if you're making something usable that wasn't usable in this way? Says the Gemara, if it's mustaki, then that's when we permit you to open up these kalim, this barrel, and break through the kalim. What is mustaki? Let's look at Rashi. Mustaki is chavis shvura. It's a shattered barrel shemedabkin shvareha b'sraf shel eitz, that you take sap or you take tar and you take shards of pottery and you reassemble. I think in English it's called recycling. Ancient recycling. You take shards of pottery and you take some tar and you put the pieces together with tar, and you could reassemble a broken vessels. Look what Rashi adds. Now, this is not necessarily for our shiur, but I thought it was so fascinating. I first took it out, and I said, this is just historically fascinating. Remember, this is a Gemara in Beitza that uses the word mustaki. Does mustaki sound Hebrew to you? Definitely not. Does it sound Aramaic to you? Not even. Okay, it's probably Greek or Latin, like many words in the Mishnah, right? Look what Rashi says. Ubalashan Aravi, and in Arabic, kornoso mustaki. This is an Arabic word, Rashi says. Mustaki is an Arabic word. Umadbikin bo karos cheretz hanshpam. When you have broken pottery dishes, what do? You don't throw them out. You take some tar, you take some sap, and you reassemble them. Now, what do we call that in our modern parlance? This is as close as you could get to... It's junk, definitely junk. This is as close as you can get to disposable dishes that we could find in halacha. The kevan, continues Rashi, dira'uahi, since it is shaky, weak, lekel migzer ba shalo yiskavin la'asas kli. We're not going to make gzer, but don't make this. You could make this into a kli. You're going to make a nice door, a nice hole, make it into a kli. No, we don't apply concerns of making a kli to something that is mustaki. Wow. What we just came up with is a very important limitation. The whole Mishnah that we saw before, it says you could open up this kli, you could break the kli open, you could smash it, you could break it, you could poke a hole, just don't make an opening. Even the heter to break the kli open, the chavis open, is only if it is mustaki. If it's a disposable, if the whole jar that we were speaking of, the whole barrel that we were speaking of, that you're allowed to break open to get the dates of the figs inside, that's only if it's a mustaki type of barrel, a disposable barrel. Okay, that for our purposes, that we weren't really talking about making holes in good quality kalim and pots and pans. We're talking about making holes in things that I'm going to throw out. Is a soda can a mustaki? Is a soda can very weak and shaky?
Yes.
I don't know. I think it has a 20-year shelf life, we said. So now we have a different question. Is mustaki conceptual or physical?
No, because when you have this barrel that we're actually talking about, as far as we know, that barrel is going to keep those figs also forever.
You're saying a barrel made out of shards that was held together by tar?
Yes.
Okay, you could say that.
Yes. Oh, I missed that.
I'm asking, what is the status of our soda cans?
I understand what you're asking, but you just said something about the kli that we're talking about in the Mishnah, in the Gemara over here, is a barrel that was put together, that's held together with sap or tar. So the idea is that as long as you don't put it in your heat, it's going to stay like that forever. Okay.
I wonder. I don't know enough about tar or sap. After a little while, it might get brittle and just disintegrate. I don't know. I don't know. I could take a soda can and play with a soda can for years and years, and you know.
Because when you first started to describe mustaki, what was coming to my mind is a Ziploc bag, because you have the pieces. It's a temporary
fix,
enjoyment that creates a clip.
I hear that. A Ziploc bag is already a kli, even though you don't seal it, it's already a receptacle.
But that's exactly the point.
Here, this is.
Once you're sealing it, the seal is a temporary seal. It's not a.
I hear the point.
If you're not going to say that a soda can is, then why is a potato chip there? Because a potato chip there, you can also leave there for years and years and years.
Yeah, I think the structure of an aluminum can is much stronger. It'll be moist.
The oils are going to be...
Yeah, because of what's inside, because it's not...
It's permanent.
It's not a can.
Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. So we're in the middle of page 9. Let's look at what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. The Shulchan Aruch says, putting everything that we learned together, and tells us the following. Is there bona if you make a kli or not? Says the Shulchan Aruch, ain binyan vestir b'kelim. There's no bona, and if there's no bona by kelim, there's also no soser or stira b'kelim, because they're sisters one to another. They're cousins, however you want. They're the two sides of the coin. If you don't have bona, you don't have stira. So any discussion that we have today about, oh, is this bona, is this soser, two out of the five issues, throw them out the window. Except, v'hani mili, she'eno binyon mamish, kagon chavis. But when do we say there's no bona? There's no bona when we're talking about the following. When we talk about a chavis, shanishbra, v'dibek shvareh, b'zefes, if we're talking about what you and I know is called mustaki, that chavis broke, and you have shards of pottery, and you stuck it together with zefes, with tar, then we will say that there's no bona or stira. A real kli, a real chavis, has bona. If I would take a real barrel and crack it open to access the stuff inside, what did I just do? I made a kli. Or maybe I broke a kli, either one. And that might be also maybe daraisa. When did the Mishnah say that you're allowed to open up these kalim? That's by mustaki that are only held together weekly. Then, if it's mustaki, then yachol, l'shavra likach masha besocha. And even then, I have to be careful not to make a pesach. So now, in the world of mustaki, in the world of, let's assume mustaki is disposable stuff. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but let's assume that for now. If it's a real kli, I can't break it on Shabbos. If it's a mustaki, a disposable kli, then I could break it to access the stuff inside, as long as the way I break it is not making a pesach. That means, that's a kula, that I could break it. But it's a chumra that's saying that even in mustaki, in disposable items, I'm not allowed to
make a pesach.
What does it mean, not making a pesach? Make something that will allow the contents to be easily removed and replaced.
Well, not even like, easily, not even easily.
said that if it's sealed with wax,
Pesach has to be some. But a hole isn't the Pesach. A Pesach is something that allows it to flow. So if you opened it up in a way that would be considered a Pesach, potato chips bags, there might be other facets that we're not up to, that we're not holding in yet. That's other discussion, not for now. That could be a problem. I'm not saying it is. But right now, based on what we just learned, if you have, even though you have mustiki, let's say a potato chip bag is mustiki, if you open it up in a way that you could have a nice, easy access point, clean in, clean out, easy to access, the things come out perfectly, go in perfectly, that could be a problem of mesakin, of matakin mona.
Versus making a slit in the bag somewhere. Where
if you break it in the whole thing, that would be permitted. You just, you know, slice the, you know, take a knife and destroy it. Yeah, you take a knife and you slice the bag, that's not a neat opening. Mm-hmm. That would be totally fine because it's mustiki.
Try to do it not in the worst.
That's a different issue. Words, we didn't even talk about that. Okay.
Where did the phrase in binyan mesir b'kelim come from?
A Gemara.
It sounds like it's a carquage heter.
That's what Rashi says.
So where's the source?
Tosos. Who argues on Rashi? Because there are cases in the Gemara that talk about, I mentioned them in the past, about, you remember we talked once about a case where you have a handle and a spade, or the blade of a shovel? The Gemara says explicitly, you're not allowed to put a pin to hold those two together because it's bona. Bona ain't binyan b'kelim. So that's what Tosa says. You see that if you're making a whole thing put together, that was, you just made the whole thing.
Again, what's the source of that phrase?
The Gemara says explicitly the words Ein Binyan B'Kelim. Yeah, the Gemara says explicitly Ein Binyan B'Kelim. The problem is that we don't know where to apply it. Rashi says it applies everywhere, Ein Binyan B'Kelim. Tosa says it depends on what you're, how much you're building. But okay, fine. We're figuring out how to paska. We're going to start from the Gemara figuring out how to move on. Okay. Now, let's look at this very nice quote from a sefer that I have been using extensively, that I found in all places in Seamus. Somebody was throwing it out, and somebody else's garbage was my treasure. I've given so many shurim from the sefer. It's Rav Falk, one of the big posek from Gateshead, and it's his shiurim on Makabe Patish, and binyan, and bona, and packages, and this is what he writes. Kelim chad pa'amiyim, disposable kelim. Sha'achar shenigmar ha'shimosh be'mashlich mo'osom la'ashpa, that after you use them, you throw them in the garbage, like cups and napkins and packages, and even bottle caps. Dinam, third like, k'klei mustaki. And therefore, all disposable items are not subject to bona and soser. V'lo shayach b'am iser bona v'soser. Kemish she'em lehem chashivas shel kli shon. So there's no iser. Once you deal with disposables, you could throw out of the window any concerns for bona and soser.
But just to clarify, you still can't pull the
tab. We didn't talk about pulling tabs. That might be making a Pesach. Yeah, right. We're not up to that yet.
What are we talking about? Getting to
you want to access the inside of a container to get the food from inside of it. If it's a disposable container, then you are permitted to open the outside of it, the container, to access the stuff inside of it. That's mustaki, and we hold ein binyan b'kelim. Va'avim hem chazakim. Ooh, v'yesh lam hayecholos lehiskayim zman rav. Here he's passing on Shiloh about a soda can. What has if you have a container that could stay that way for years and years? Since the nature of people is to throw them out, that's how he tells us, that's the status. So
I'm sorry, I'm not kidding. You actually have to throw it out. You have a huge bag, a potato chip bag, you plan to serve it or eat half of it.
Who said throw it out? Who said throw it out? You said throw it out. I didn't say those words. I didn't say you have to throw out the bag.
Well, he said the derech.
The derech is not to throw it out the second you open it. The derech is to throw it. Do you keep potato chip bags for future uses? Like, do you have a potato chip bag that you ate the potato chips from 4 months ago and you still use that bag to hold your quarters in? I assume you don't.
The rest of the potato chips for tomorrow.
Yeah, and then 3 weeks after that, where's the potato chip bag? Is it sitting in your pantry filled with quarters?
When I'm finished, it gets discarded.
That's what he's referring to. We're not talking about discarding on Shabbos. Yeah, we're not talking about finishing the potato chips within a day or two. We're talking about you throwing out this bag after whenever you finish using it.
I read somewhere that a box of cereal or a box of matzah could be a month of the raisa.
You read that opening boxes of matzah or boxes of cereal could be a malach of the raisa. Let's think for a minute. Is it going to be bona?
Possibly.
So no, it won't be bona. Why? Because it's disposable. We just said that once something's disposable, right. It's mustiki. By definition, we don't say bona or soser. I know what you meant. You meant that if it's opened in a neat way, that you could access the stuff inside, that's exactly what our mission said. Even if you have something that's disposable, even if you have mustiki, you're not allowed to make a Pesach. Why? Because making a Pesach is not bona, not soser, but metake mana, which is a tolda of makke bepatish. Yes, that's possible.
There's a
hole on one side and you slap it. There's a hole on one side. You glue it together. You open that. Mm, I don't know. Right.
It's a little flap
and
a hole. That's the flap
fits
into the hole, so that it closes a little bit.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
Pesach
Yafa. So maybe it's
Makabe
Patish. That could be the issue if that's
an
issue.
But he's only addressing the bonus osur issue?
What we saw so far is that there's no bonus osur issue, but even then, by mustaki, there still is an issue of making a Pesach Yafa. As long as it's disposable, there's no problem with bona v'soser. All he talked about is, he didn't say you're allowed to open them. He says there's no bona v'soser.
Right.
Good. What about makom patish? That might be, but that's a different sugya. And certainly if you make a nice opening, it would be a problem with makom patish, even by mustaki. So that's why when you open, let's say, for example, you need a lecha mishnah. So you open up a box of matzah. The problem is if you open up a box of matzah, you're making a neat opening that this box could be used to put the matzah in and out and out.
The barrel, the kli that had the wax on top, when you're taking the wax off, you make the opening is there, and that's mutter. Over here, when they inserted the matzah into the box, the opening was there. It was a perfect.
Here you have a flap.
And then what's the old?
Yes, that's why it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Again, that's the same point that you made a long time ago. But the Mishnah says that's exactly the same point that you said 35 minutes ago, and we saw it. That doesn't work. Just because it was a kli before, that doesn't make it.
That's not what I'm saying.
So it's still here. You're still making a Pesach Yafa from whatever you had.
The Pesach was already there. You're not making anything that wasn't there. You're not making anything that wasn't there. It's the same thing as the barrel with the wax.
You're not allowed to make a Pesach Yafa in the wax.
No, you're not, but you're allowed to take off the whole wax.
Right.
So that's what you're doing over here.
You're not taking off the whole wax.
You're not taking off the whole top.
You had the flaps. The glue, right?
You didn't take off the whole all the flaps. You didn't cut off the flaps.
And then you're opening it up again.
That's making it. I don't know if that's breaking the.
The Cheerio box and the matzo box.
Before it wasn't a doorway. Before it was a seal. No, it was a seal.
That's how they got a seal.
It was a seal. Now it's a doorway. I know how they make it. I know how they make it. But it was not made as a doorway to access. It was made as a seal to seal. Now you're making that which was a seal
into. Why they made the tail on top.
To be a nice Pesach Yafa, that makes it worse.
The opening was already in existence over there. You're not making anything. You're not creating anything.
You're creating it as a Pesach. You're making it into a Pesach.
No, it was made in the factory.
When it was on the shelf, it was not a Pesach.
Yes, it was.
No, it was a seal.
Just like you have a barrel with wax on top, you have a barrel that has an opening that has wax on top, you have the same thing with this box. It was an opening, and it is an opening.
I don't know. Yeah. I think it sounds to me like it's more.
It's like you sewed it together. Imagine if you sewed it together.
The box of
matzah,
the box of cereal.
The
bag is a different Shiloh. That bag is another Shiloh.
But that's not being opened properly or. See, that's sealed and you're breaking it open, you're ripping it open.
Yeah.
Whereas what Sholem is saying, the box itself was made by the factory so that you can flip the one piece into the other.
I hear you saying. I didn't have
that.
That's
how it was manufactured.
I didn't have that point. That's I don't.
Steel,
yeah. Right. I hear what I misunderstood what you said about the tab. You're right, but I still think that the fact that it's sealed, it lost its opening open status. Now it's and there it's also if you make it into a Pesach, if you take the whole thing off,
a
Pesach.
But by separating the wax from the clay, let's call it a clay table.
You're saying when you bring it back to the way it was, that's not called a Pesach. I hear. I have to think about that. I have to think about that. Very good. No. Very good. I hear what you're saying. I didn't have that before. I hear what you're saying. Okay. Let's go. Halach l'maaseh, Rabbi Osei, it's already late. Let's go and speak to Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach and ask him our shaila about taking off, now that we got some background for a lot of halachas of opening kelim, and this was sort of an introductory shiur for opening a lot of kelim. I don't know if how much we'll talk about different kinds of kelim and containers and packages, but we have the backgrounds to a bunch of sugyas. Let's talk about soda can tabs. Mincha Shlomo, Tinyana, Volume Beis Gimel, Simen Lamed Beis, Simen Lev. Those of you who love soda cans, this is how you remember. Shlomo Zalman and Simen Lev. Okay. So, please look at the title of the tshuva.
So we can't get
what do we call a tab? How do you say a tab in Hebrew? A great word. Hasaras, removal of a lishonit. Lashon, it's a small tongue. It's a great word for a tab, no? It's exactly the shape of a little tongue. Mipachit shtia, from a soda can, from a drinking can. Okay, so first of all, Rav Shlomo Zalman is going to raise the issue, what about mechatech? The chatech, we said, was cutting something on a perforation. So even if we say there's no binyan bekelim, no stira bekelim, because it's disposable. We threw out binyan and stira to create those problems. Pesach yafeh, maybe Shalom and I could have a fight about, is it a disagreement? For Torah, you could fight for Torah. So we could disagree, is it a Pesach, is it not a Pesach? Putting that aside, there's a separate problem, which is cutting something on a perforation. And that should be an issa d'oraisa of mechatech. Cutting something to precise size is mechatech. toilet paper on the perforations is going to be the end of this tshuva. Hold on, that's the end of this tshuva. That's the end of this tshuva. It's toilet paper on a perforation. So Rav Shlomo Zalman wants to put forth a very unusual svara. I think it's a chiddush. And he's going to have a kula out of the svara that he's going to put forth. And he says, don't think that if you do something that's temporary or that's disposable, that just makes it mutter. And he says, I have a Gemara that proves to me, that if you do mechatech for a disposable item, that doesn't mean it's mutter. Toilet paper is disposable. I certainly hope it's disposable. You better throw it, you know. The Gemara talks about a case where you have a chunk of wood, and you break off a piece of a splinter, thank you, to use as a toothpick. And the Gemara says that's an issa d'oraisa. That's disposable, right? That's mechatech. Mechatech is you cut off the right size piece. I thought it was metake and kli actually, but for some reason he says that's like a case of mechatech. So just because you're going to throw it out immediately, that doesn't solve the problem. So just because you're going to take this tab off and throw the can out, the tab out, whatever it is, immediately. Why? That shouldn't make it mutter. He says, here, I still think it should be mutter. You know why? First of all, he's going to say some svaras that we could argue on each line. But he brings in the concept of mustaki and that you want to get what's inside of it. But let's look what I underlined. Hachanami gam kan. Look what I underlined. Afal gav she'eno motzeis hamashke. You're not, when you want to break apart the choslos to get the grape, those wrappers of palm leaves to get to the figs inside, you want to get rid of the package to get to the figs inside and to have the figs. You don't want the wrapper. But here, you very much want this soda can. Well, imagine if you opened up a soda can, and as you open it, the soda can disintegrated, and you were left with a handful of soda. That's not what you want. What do you want? You want to open it in a way that allows you to sip it out very cleanly. The choslos that were wrapping up the figs, you just want to get the wrapper gone and get the stuff inside. You don't really want the wrapper. Here you do want the soda can very much. Not only do you want the soda can to hold the soda, you also want the soda can to provide for you a smooth way to sip at a proper sipping rate, the way you like to sip, the way humans like to sip. So you very much want this can. Let's finish this paragraph. Ella, you don't want to just take the stuff out. You don't want to take the soda out of the soda can. You want it to stay there and to use it to drink from. Mikom alkom, second line of underlined. Legabi ha-pachit, regarding this, the can, ha-choshiv k'mekalkel, that's not an improvement, that's mekalkel. Mekalkel, you made an improvement. You made it a sipping bottle now. Kemeshen izrekes miad la'achar ha-shtia. Since it's going to be thrown out 2 minutes later after you drink it, that's considered, you made this something that is now throw-outable. When you had a closed soda can, it's not something you would throw out. But once you made an open soda can, this is not something that one keeps. And therefore, it's going to be thrown out. And therefore, you could drink from it. Oh, what about mechatech? He says, first I proved, before we get to mechatech, first I proved that you should be able to open it up. Why are you able to open it up? Because you're going to be throwing it out, and therefore it's considered mekalkel. We saw that mekalkel, it's sort of Shabbos, is mutter. You're ruining this kli. Don't look at it that you're improving the kli. You're improving it for 2 minutes so that you could drink easily. But in the long term, you're ruining this kli because once you opened it, within a few minutes, it's going to be garbage. So you ruin the kli. Since you ruin the kli, I hold that you're allowed to open the kli, access the stuff inside, fine. Oh, now, once you're allowed to open it, so that means you're allowed to cut a hole somewhere. Okay, where should you cut a hole? Cut a hole on the side. Now, once you're allowed to cut a hole, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, this is a chiddush, is there anything wrong with cutting a hole in the place where it happens to be easiest to cut that hole?
Yes.
Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, no. Look what he says in the second time. Look what he says.
Drill the hole in the wax. I can drill a hole in the barrel. So
Shlomo Zalman says it's not like drilling a hole in the wax. You know why? Because when you drill a hole in the wax, you used Shalom Svara before. When you drill a hole in the wax, that hole wasn't there. You're drilling a hole anew. You're making a new clean now. A new Pesach now. When you have pre-perforated metal, whatever was there was there. You're not making something new. Oh, and I'm saying that you're allowed to cut the metal to get the food inside. That I started out as being mutter. Once you're allowed to get the food inside, and you're not making something new, why shouldn't you be able to cut it in the place that is the easiest place? Look at the second paragraph that's underlined. Lachain. Kamosha gam mutter livchor v'la'as ha'snaka b'chom ha'kan shu'atza. You could cut it wherever you want, right? V'tov lo yosel lishtas v'shom. It happens to be most convenient for you to cut the hole on the top where the lip is so that you could drink. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. Just like when you have a barrel and you're going to poke a hole something in a way that's mutter, you can poke it wherever you want. So too, kach. Gam b'nogei ala lishonit. So too with this tab. Shehakol, everything is prepared before Shabbos. Hakol, oruch, prepared, umesukon, tov, v'yofa, like emes v'yatsev. Milifnei ha-Shabbos. It's all prepared to be in a good place, in a place that's prepared for you before Shabbos. You're not doing anything now. It was prepared for you before Shabbos by a nice guy named Mr. Coca-Cola. And it was prepared in a way that when you access it, it shouldn't be, there's no shom torach v'sevel. So why should we make you, require you to make a hole somewhere else? Is it usher to be nehene from that which somebody prepared before Shabbos for you?
In this case, yeah. Because it's still making an exact size opening that's appropriate for...
So apparently, you didn't make the exact size opening.
He's saying
it's already there.
Made
I realize it's not open. It was just perforated. It was made before Shabbos. And once I allow you to go inside, to get the stuff inside, posits from Shlomo Zalman, you can make it wherever you want.
It's like for people say, eat before Shabbos, but no, it's not.
He didn't say it's a Pesach already. He said whatever is there that makes it easier was there before Shabbos. So you're not creating something new.
So then I can do the same. I can do the same thing with the barrel, with the wax. If I make an indentation where I want to cut before I want to drill before Shabbos, then I'm allowed to drill there on Shabbos because it's already there before Shabbos, and it's just easier to do it there.
This is Rav Shlomo Zalman's famous tshuva where he's matir opening a soda can on Shabbos.
An example that I just want to throw out because it's stuck in my head. You know, I have to have these ices.
Ices that you break in half?
The middle comes
yes.
very, very nice.
And you snap
so
it.
When you break it, you're breaking it at the smallest point because that's the easiest
right.
to break. Same thing with the tear. The tear is a solid piece of aluminum that happens to have a half thickness, let's call it.
Yeah, right, right. It's a thinner thickness.
At a certain spot.
You're introducing a new svara. That's a good svara.
That you're putting it in.
So you're saying you're not trying to specifically create it to a size. It's just a matter of this is the easiest spot.
Very good, very good. You're not trying to do a certain size, a certain shape. You want to do it the easiest way. The easiest way happens to be where they made it. They made it. Okay. Very good. Very, you helped us get, I think, the right story. That's probably what Shlomo Zalman is saying. Very good. I didn't chop. Right. Meaning, I'm not cutting it to size. I'm cutting it where it's easiest. They made it that the cut should be in the most convenient place. Very good. Very good. Very good.
Totally different issue.
Okay, I want to finish off because it's already late. It happens to be that Rav Moshe has a tshuva or when he was still living in Luban. Yeah.
Does the fact that you get a nickel back for the can make it not disposable?
I don't think so. To the contrary, you get a nickel back because they're going to melt it down and...
Right, but you're not throwing it, you're not discarding it.
No, the fact that you're not throwing it out, you're throwing it out just... you're not using it. Right, you're not using it as a clue. You put it in a garbage bag and you wait till you go to ShopRite the next time. Okay, now Rav Moshe has a tshuva that is about 1.5 times the length of the Gullus. He has a tshuva that's about 20 pages long that he wrote while he was still in Luban, a young man in Luban, and it was all about opening cans. Just look at the first line. This is the last. What I quoted here is Anaf Yud. That means the 10th chapter of this tshuva. When he has very, 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 very long tshuvas, he makes each one into, he puts them in chapters. This is chapter 10. Nimtza Ladina. She'elu ha-kens. That's a good word. I don't know what kens means in Yiddish.
When he was here.
It's dated Luban. It dated when he wrote this when he was still in Russia. V'tevos ha-shprantz. I don't know what shprantz. Shprantz was a certain kind of thing that they sold. V'chein tzuker, sugar. All kinds of packages that are made in packages that are wrapped in sacks on the yarn, paper bags, and after they would throw these around, it should be mutter to destroy them just like choslos. It should be mutter to destroy all the bags, all the packages, and all cans just like choslos. That case where we saw you had the figs inside of the wrapping of the palm trees, you could destroy the outside palm trees, you could get the stuff. However, that's what he says should be the din. However, says Rav Moshe, if you would use these cans afterwards, after you would use a tuna fish can or a soda can, you would use it for something, definitely usser, no shayla. You made a real Pesach, and a can you can use, no shayla, usser, maybe doraisa, fine. But Rav Moshe says, halach l'maisa, again, he goes to the sugya in a tremendously long tshuva, I don't think you should do it. I don't think you should do it. Mekar hadina might be mutter, and therefore I'll allow you to, on yontif, at a wedding that doesn't have food, to ask a guy to open a can for you. Other than that, you can't open cans on Shabbos. If you want to see another tshuva where he wrote the main point of those 20 pages in one line, look at the last line on the source sheets. And this is a tshuva that's one line long, and it summarizes all 20 pages of the earlier tshuva.
What page are?
The last source on page, the last source. The last, it's one line long. The last source is one line long. V'liftoach cans, otherwise known as metal boxes. V'tevas niyar shel tzuker, and paper packages of sugar. Umatzos, paper bags of matzos. Says Rav Moshe, yesh bazeh pratim harbe, there are many details, l'chein yesh le'esor l'maisa. You can't open packages. So this needs a lot of analysis. It comes out, halach l'maisa, Rabosai, that Rav Moshe seems to say that one should not open cans on Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman, which he, with his unique svaras that Shlomo made a little bit easier for us to understand, says you can. So Rabosai, it's a machlokas. Is it a machlokas on a derabbanan or a doraisa? I have to work it with it. We have to figure that out. You have to go through all the svaras and see what that we saw, that there are five potentially surim, some of them doraisas. So what kind of, if it's machlokas derabbanan, it's more easy to be mako. Since it's disposable, let's assume there's no bona, there's no sosa, but maybe is there mechatech, is there, Shlomo Zalman has this very fascinating svara, it's not considered mechatech. You made it a better svara. Maybe not everybody should hold, would hold for that svara. Is it makav patish? Even if it's mustiki and disposable, maybe there would be makav patish by mustiki. So that's the longer, that I don't know what to say. So Rabosai, it's machlokas. I can't do better than that.
But I think, that from what I understand, in reviewing the analyze of Moshe's tshuva in great extent,
yeah,
I think that there's a difference, according from what the little that we spoke out about it, between a canned tuna fish and a can of soda. The difference being is that the can of tuna fish now becomes something which I think is reusable.
So if nobody reuses it, just because it is reusable, I don't think it will be significant. Moshe says this. If nobody reuses it, then we'll could call it a throw-out container. Okay. Even though you're right, somebody could keep the coins in it.
Can't
be used.
Nobody refills
a soda can. But a tuna fish nowadays in 2022 in Lawrence, nobody uses tuna fish cans. Reuses their tuna fish cans and therefore wouldn't be.
I think that
is explicit. If people would reuse it, you're right. But if people won't reuse it.
Soda can and
right. Halacha l'maaseh nowadays, I don't think there would be a difference because nobody reuses tuna fish cans. Okay.